Father, as we come to this time of opening your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes and ears. You'd enable us to think, to remove distractions, whatever we feel left still to be done, whatever relationships might be in strife, whatever might be taking our eyes away from this place, away from you, Lord. Fix us on Christ. Let us make much of Jesus now as we open your word, as we hear again the promise of the Son, this gift, and as we hear the fulfillment of that promise recorded in the gospel. For those who are with us who may never have heard this, may this be the sweetest news they've ever received. And for many who know you already as Lord and Savior, may we be touched even more deeply by the grace that you have shown and continue to show us. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Please stand for the reading of God's word. We're gonna begin in the book of Isaiah, looking at chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and then into Luke's gospel, chapter 2. Isaiah 9, 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I want to say thank you for being here tonight. It's a gift that we have to come as his people, to be reminded of who he is, to have our hearts encouraged with his word. This morning I shared the joy of what it means to have the Son. To understand that Christianity is so much more than just a worldview. It's the reality of the living God that tonight we're worshiping, living inside us. It's called union with Christ. When I grew up, the tradition in our house was on Christmas Eve to open gifts from the parents. And then on Christmas morning, gifts would have suddenly appeared. Those were always unwrapped and they were delivered by one that we all enjoyed thinking about. As I told you this morning, that tradition started very early for me. Once the lights were out, I was alive. During the day, each of my siblings, there were five of us, Mike's the oldest, Debbie next, then me, then two little sisters, Susan and Darla. At some point, we would call our grandparents. And in those days, one person would talk on the phone at a time. There was no FaceTiming. There was no texting. It was just one person after another describing what gifts they had received. And in a way, this is a little bit like worship. We were praising whoever had brought us these things. And each child would go into elaborate detail about what it was. And my grandparents would receive those words with great joy. They would listen to all the descriptions that my sisters had of their dolls, of their Easy Bake Oven, and whatever else they might have received. But once in a while, we would all have received the same gift. So five times they would hear us describe a gift that we had received. And in 1975, it was the strangest of all gifts. It was this. This is called a pet rock. And in 1975, a man by the name of Gary Dahl, D-A-H-L, bought for 1 cent each many of these little rocks. He put them in a box, and that which cost him pennies, he sold for $4 a piece. And over a 5-month span, sold over 1 million rocks. This idea, born in a bar, made him a millionaire. This is real. For you all that weren't born yet, this isn't a joke. I have a point I'm going to make. With this rock came this little book, The Care and Training of Your Pet Rock. 30 pages. Let me read just a couple of snippets. Item 1, your new rock is a very sensitive pet and may be slightly traumatized from all the handling and shipping required in bringing the two of you together. While you may look in on your new pet from time to time, it is essential that you leave your rock in its box for a few days. It is advised that you set the box in an area of your home that is to become your pet rock's special place. Now, this is real. Over 1 million of these were sold. He goes on to speak of the tricks that you can teach your pet rock, such as roll over. Your pet rock will learn this trick the very first time you give it a lesson. That statement may be hard to believe, but it's true. The best place to teach your pet rock to roll over is on the side of a hill. Place your rock on the ground at the top of the hill. Give the command, roll over. Now let go of your rock. It's that simple. Over 1 million. My parents spent $20. My grandparents heard 5 times their grandchildren describe this. What an amazingly stupid but brilliant idea. Why would I bring it up tonight? Not just to be funny. What's more foolish is actually people who say they believe in our rock, which is Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation, and then treat him like some object that's not alive, that has no heart, that has no power, that is nothing. And he sets in a box or next to our bed, and the truth of what he's told us doesn't really impact us the way it should. Tonight, for a few minutes, what I want to do is what I did every Christmas morning, is I want to tell you, just as I told my grandparents in detail about my favorite gifts, about this great gift of Christ. Some of you know him and some of you don't. Some of you tonight probably are here saying, I once believed, but I'm not sure anymore. And I just want to say, I'm glad you're here. I think a lot of people stop believing because the way Christianity has been packaged to them is that it's just a list of rules and a worldview to follow. And it is that. Don't misunderstand me. But it is so much more. At its essence, it really is a gift. It is God the Father giving us his very own Son, who he is going to pour out his wrath on for the sin of all of his people, so that everyone who would trust in that man, who would rest and receive Jesus, the rock of our salvation, would live forever. The Isaiah passage, the first part of it in chapter 9, speaks of the darkness of the world. We used it in our call to worship. It's verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The sight of heaven, we are all going to experience darkness. We're going to experience dark nights. We're going to experience dark seasons. And what we desperately need is not something that isn't alive or something that is just an idea, but we need something, someone who is the very thing that has been described for us tonight. Jesus Christ, described in Isaiah, prophesied in Isaiah, is called these four things: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Each of those descriptions of the attributes of God reveal to us profound things about who he is, not as just an idea, not as just a subject, but a real person who lives in his people through his Spirit. Today, tonight, where in your life do you feel like you desperately need counsel? Psalm 16, John Piper gives an amazing proposition. He takes Psalm 16 and he summarizes it this way. He says, "God will lead you, body and soul, through life and through death, into everlasting joy, if he is your safest refuge, if he is your supreme treasure, if he is your most trusted counselor, if he is your sovereign Lord." These words that are being used to describe Jesus are not meant just to make us feel good. They're meant to tell us who he is, this man, Jesus. Do you need counsel? Of course you do. And you will until he calls you home. His counsel is unlike any other because he's omniscient, all-knowing. Whatever you feel burdened by now to have understanding, clarity, the Lord knows everything. There's not one thing he can learn about you in whatever circumstances you're facing, not one thing. Is he your most trusted counselor? Not only is he wise, but he is all-powerful. Here Isaiah describes him as Mighty God. The one living inside all who profess faith in Jesus is all-powerful. There is not a power that you and I as human beings can't measure. We can measure an engine. We can measure human strength. We can measure an earthquake, a tornado, a hurricane, but God's power cannot be measured. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you do, that power is in you. Describes him also as the everlasting Father. The text is not saying that Jesus is the Father, but he's saying he acts as a father, as a good father who watches over his children, who provides for his children. One who knows everything they need and gives them everything that is necessary for them to abide in himself. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Prince, in this language, means leader, means commander, means captain. That tagged with Mighty God, which is the image of warrior, speaks of who our Savior is in seeking to bring us in this life and through this life safely into everlasting joy. Tonight, we don't gather simply because it's a beautiful and wonderful thing to do. We gather as a people who are desperate to share our gratitude with the Father in heaven who sent his Son. Two psalms over from Psalm 16, David writes these words after he had been delivered from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Can you imagine how confusing it must have been for David during those times? But listen to what he says. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Near the end of the psalm, he then writes these words, for who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless, he is the rock. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. The word of God makes it clear as he himself spoke it. If you know Christ, then you know the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what that means is this side of heaven, though he has not promised to take away our pain, he has promised to give us himself. And that is not just an occasional encouragement saying, see, you're going to be okay, you're going to make it. It's the person of Christ in the Holy Spirit living in us who secures us in the presence of darkness, in the presence of real desperation. Tonight, if you're here and you want to believe that these things are true, I'm so glad that you have given me the privilege to tell you about this gift. And there's so much more. So much more. This side of heaven, I am just like you. A man who is in Christ, who feels and sees and hears the darkness. But just like you, as a person in Christ, I know through his word and spirit that he is everything I need. And he is for you too. He promises to lead us and to be with us and to never forsake us. And the one who's making that promise is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. May he give you the assurance of that peace even this night. And if tonight is the night in which you receive him and rest in him, simply tell somebody that you came with. If they act like they don't know what you're talking about, tell them what you've just heard. And then tell someone else. The gift of the Son of God has been given for you. Hallelujah. Father, you sent your Son to be the rock of our salvation. This rock is not dead, but is alive. The stone removed from the tomb revealed that he conquered death. Father, you as a rock have arms, and you have reached out to save your people. Embrace us, Lord, even this night, and lift our eyes to behold your glory. And let us sense the power that you possess, the wisdom that you possess, the peace that you alone can bring, and the love of a perfect Father. Would you overwhelm us with those things, even as we continue in a season of worship for your glory and our good? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.